This morning, I get the privilege to be able to talk with you guys. And this is one of my favorite times, to be able to spend this morning with you guys to unpack more this theme. I know I mentioned it briefly last night. We talked a little about it, but the whole concept of II Captain. And every year, especially for those of you that have been here before, you know that we have a different theme that goes along with that summer. And that theme really drives our teaching, drives our videos, kind of a lot of different things that we do. And just to give you a little insight on how we come up with this theme, how we come up with the genre, and eventually pirates, and we do all this crazy stuff. Really, after summer ends, all of us program directors get together. So myself here, we have a handful of program directors back at Hume Lake in California. We also have a camp going on right now down in San Diego. So we have different Hume camps happening. All of us, they'll get together, and we really just talk about from that summer, what we learned about the students, especially from your youth pastors and youth leaders, they give us just kind of more of an insight on maybe things that you guys are going through, dealing with individually as a church. And so we talk through that. And what's really cool and what I love to see is every year in my 3 years of doing this, that we see what the students on the West Coast are going through and dealing with are exact same things students on the East Coast are going through and dealing with. And it might look a little different just as far as the specifics of it, but really the root of it, what it comes down to, is the same. And last year, as we wrestled through this, prayed through it, and talked about, you know, we kind of came through onto this conclusion, and that is, like I talked about last night, where it seems like all of us, not just you guys, but all of us every day have that choice what it comes down to. Either you're following what the world says, you're following those things that are against God's word, you're following, you know, sinful desires, you're following the flesh, as you saw last night, or you have on this other side in what God wants. You're following Christ, you're following his commands, what he wants for you and his will for you. And sometimes those things come together, but unfortunately, a lot of times those things are kind of separate. And so today, I just want to unpack this morning, I want to pack a little bit more as we say, Aye, Captain, as we say, you know, yes, God, I want to follow you. You know, we love this pirate theme. We love the whole concept of having that captain figure, just like Jesus, having that person to follow. And the thing is, with a pirate, as a captain, would a pirate captain be a captain if there wasn't anyone following him? No, he'd just be some crazy nut out there just kind of doing his own thing. But really, as those followers, as those people saying, you know what, looking at this person, say, yes, I want to follow you, saying, yes, captain, aye, captain, and, you know, I want to follow you. And that's what we're going to look at more this morning. The kind of the slogan or the saying that we kind of came up with as, you know, we develop this theme is, you know, as we're following the captain, as we want to put our trust, our faith into him, you know, we want to look at what it looks like to be faithful with today. So that's kind of the saying that we have, be faithful with today. So I just want to just throw that out to you guys, and you'll be talking about it later in your small group time. But what does it look like, or what do you think of when you hear that term, be faithful with today? And so especially that term faithful, We'll unpack more on what that looks like. So the definition of being faithful is to be steady in allegiance or affection, to be loyal, to be constant, to be not changing. Thankfully, we have a God that we serve that is faithful, a God that we serve that is doesn't change, that is constant. But what does that look like for us? I threw this out to my staff. I asked them a couple weeks ago as we're prepping for this, when I say, you know, be faithful with today, what does that look like to you? And, you know, we got all different answers, which was awesome. And a couple of them kind of honed back in on this about being faithful with today. It's each day, each decision that you make. Again, you have the two different choices. Each decision you make, you know, to be faithful, to be pointed towards Christ, to keep doing what he wants for you. And even just in those little things, every day, even we have those little choices to make. You know, those things that are taking you away from Christ? Because if you make those decisions, you're moving farther from Christ, or are you making those decisions that are taking you towards Christ? And I read this quote actually just last week as I was doing some studying. And it's a quote that is very relevant to us today, especially now in this world. There's things going on, even within the government, that are very contrary to what God's word says. And, you know, there was one point that this nation was founded on God's word. It was founded on the principles that Jesus has given us in his word, that God's given us in his word. Unfortunately, though, the more and more, as this world goes on, the more and more those two things are getting more and more separate. And, you know, as you have that choice every day, you know, it's really following what God says or following what the world says. And I'll just read this. It says, more and more Christians are feeling like people caught between two worlds. There was a time when Christian belief and behavior mapped very closely to the beliefs and behaviors extolled by the broader culture. As the West marches away from these ideas, however, it has left some feeling confused and lost. They have to live in the tension between their identity in Christ and that of their culture. So basically, it's saying before, you know, the culture and what God said was kind of similar. There's some differences, but similar. But more and more, as we grow apart from that, it is more of a choice every day making, you know, am I going to do what culture says, what the world says, or am I going to do what Jesus says? So before we dive into this, before we look more into what God says and what he wants from us as we follow him and what it looks like to follow the captain, let's just give this to him and let's just pray and give God this morning. So God, we just ask, Lord, that you do come and you do just work in our hearts, God, in our lives. Please, God, speak through me that these words, God, aren't mine, but they're yours. And that we can see, Lord, what it means to follow you, what it means, Lord, just to give our lives to you. And God, we're just so grateful, God, that you, God, are someone worthy to be followed. And God, I just pray, Lord, that we can just, that comes more alive to us this morning. God, we give this to you in your name. Amen. So this morning, I do have a video that I want to show you guys, kind of a fun video, but also a video that will kind of show you kind of that, in a fun way, the two choices that we have, a choice to do wrong or the choice to do right. And this is a video that some of you might have seen or might have seen a variation of this video. But as little kids have this choice in front of them, and they can do the right thing or they can do not the right thing. And you'll see kind of what that looks like here, and we'll talk more about it. So let's roll that footage.
Either wait, and I'll bring you back another one, so you can have two, or you can eat it now. So you can eat it now, or you can wait, and I'll bring you back two. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'll be back. Okay, so I have one marshmallow for each of you.
Okay.
And here's the deal. You can either eat it now, or you can wait till I get back, and you can have two. Okay? So eat it now, or wait till I get back, and you can have two. And I'll be back with another one.
If you wait, we...
Yep, if you wait, you get two. Or you can eat it now, whichever you want. Okay? I'll
put
it
on. She still won't give you two because you ate it. So imagine eating a single one anymore. So go and shovel it up there.
So there you go. Again, just a fun way to see just the different choices. And this morning, just want to focus on the choice of following Christ, the choice of what that looks like if you say, you know what, Lord, yes, I want to follow you. Aye, aye, Captain. And tonight, some of you get a choice if or get a chance. If you guys haven't yet in your life, some of you have said, yes, Lord, I want to follow you with my life. Maybe some of you in here haven't made that decision yet, which is great. Tonight is an opportunity, but also this week is what give you guys opportunities to be able to see what that looks like. So this morning, as you say, yes, God, I want to follow you. Yes, to the captain. Aye, aye, Captain. I want to follow you. There's three things I kind of locked in on. Three principles that, you know, kind of if you follow the captain, this is kind of the three things that you need to do. And the first one that I want to talk about is you need to acknowledge the captain. So again, for someone to be a captain, they're not really a captain if no one's following them. So to follow them, you need to acknowledge that they're a captain. You need to acknowledge that that's a person worthy to be followed. That's a person that you respect. That's a person that you want to kind of give things up to follow. So as you saw last night in Peter's story, when Christ came to him, when Jesus came to him, and said, follow me. Well, what did he do? He immediately dropped his nets and followed him because he recognized him as someone worthy to be followed, recognized him as someone worthy to give everything up and follow him. And as you look at Peter's life, and Rich will do a great job this week kind of breaking it down more, so I don't want to kind of ruin that at all or get into that too much more. But if you look at Peter's life, especially with the story last night in Luke 5, you could tell at that point, as Rich said, that you know Peter got to hear this guy speak. There's something different about this guy. He got to see the crowds that followed him. He got to see the healings that Jesus did. So he knew that this guy was different. But at that time, even when he dropped his nets and followed him, he knew he didn't know fully the extent of Jesus and why he was here on earth and why during this time, you know, why this guy was completely worthy to follow, but he just knew at that time there was something different about him. And as you look, as you go on in kind of the story of the disciples, especially Peter, got to witness different things about Jesus. And if you have your Bibles and you want to, you can open them up to Mark chapter 4. And in Mark 4 is a story probably a lot of you guys know, but it's really the story of Jesus calming the storm. And to set up the story, basically Jesus is with his disciples. He said, you know what, guys? You know, let's just kind of get away. There's been a lot of crowds, a lot of people. Let's just go out on a boat, get out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee, as you saw there with Rich. And we're going to get away. So as they're in this boat, Jesus falls asleep on the boat. And as he falls asleep, a huge storm comes. And the storm comes, and on the Sea of Galilee, these storms can get huge, and they've taken many lives, especially you saw how small those boats were. They can easily capsize one of those boats and kill everyone on board. Well, this huge storm comes, probably a lot of disciples are like, you know what, this is it. This is going to, we're done. And then they're like, and then they look at Jesus, and he's sleeping right there. And like, how can he be sleeping? So they go wake Jesus up. Jesus comes out. And he just says three words to the storm. He says, quiet, be still. And immediately the storm stopped. The winds calmed down. The waves calmed down. And the disciples saw this. And I love it just says here in Mark 4, in the last verse in 41, it says, they, the disciples, were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And I love that. Even the wind and the waves, nature, what God created, obeys him. Even nature acknowledges Jesus. So as you look at acknowledge, the definition here, as you see on the screen, basically says accept or admit the existence or truth of. So that even nature knows that Jesus was God. They acknowledge that. And as the disciples got to see this, they got to see more and more that Jesus was the Son of God. And Rich is going to talk more about it tonight, but you look in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 16, you see Jesus asking his disciples, who do people say that I am? And, you know, the disciples said, well, people think you're John the Baptist, or you think that you're Elijah. You know, think that they're good people, the prophets. But then Jesus asks his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter is the first one to speak up, and he says, you are Christ. You're the Son of God. So Peter got it. He understood as he's following this guy that he was the Son of God. But he still didn't get the full extent at that point because Jesus was still on earth with him. But for us 2,000 years later, we have no excuse. We should be able and hopefully know who Jesus is fully. And that's because we have God's word. We have the end of the story. We have the rest of the story. And that is, and you'll learn a lot more about it tonight, but that is that Jesus is the Son of God who came here to take our sins, to save us from our sins, because we are sinful people, to take those sins on him on the cross, to die, to rise again, to show he has power over death, and to make it where we can, instead of deserving eternity in hell, away of separation from Christ, that we can have eternity with him. And Peter, in Acts chapter 2, after Christ died, resurrected, and then went ascended into heaven, Peter then got to see the full extent. And where Acts chapter 2, he got to tell his fellow Jews that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, acknowledging him, that he is Lord, that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, that there is something incredible about this man, that he is worthy to be followed, that he's worthy to be praised. And hopefully this week that you guys can be able to see more what that looks like. If you, like I said, if you haven't acknowledged that already, hopefully this week you can see more and unpack that more about how Jesus Christ is God, and that he has, not only that he's God, but he's come here on earth because he loves you, he cares about you, and he wants that relationship with you. And that's why we have you guys bring your Bibles. That's why we encourage you guys to memorize scripture so you can get to know that God even more, that you guys can have that personal relationship, that you can acknowledge who he is. So again, the first thing, as you're following Christ, first of all, you just have to acknowledge this guy. You have to know the person you're following. If you don't know him, then he's not worth following. Or if you don't know him, but you are following, that's kind of on you then, that's not a good decision. But to follow this person, to make a good decision, you have to acknowledge him. You have to understand who he is. The next one is, once you acknowledge who he is, once you say, okay, this person's worthy to follow, then as you follow the person, you have to yield to that person, to the captain. So yield to the captain means you have to relinquish possession of something, to give something up. So usually the word yield, you think of in the terms of, you know, a lot of you are, maybe you have your driver's permit or you just got your driver's license and you learn about what it means to yield. Basically, when you're driving, to yield means to give way to someone, hopefully. People in Massachusetts really don't do the best job of it, but you guys can change that culture. So when you yield to someone, you're saying, you know what, I'm giving you the right of way. I am relinquishing possession. I'm giving this something to you. And so as you acknowledge the captain, a lot of times, you know, as you see in Luke chapter 5 last night, that Peter goes, you know, Jesus asked him to throw his nets on the other side. And because Peter recognized, you know, he called him master. He recognized, he acknowledged that he was someone above him. He said, master, because you say so, I'm going to do it. So in our lives, you know, maybe in your life, has there been times that you've had to yield to someone? You've had to kind of do something, you were asked to do something that you really didn't want to do, but you did it just because the person who asked you was kind of above you? Typically, probably where you guys are at, especially your parents. You know, if your parents ask you to do something, you guys do it every time, right? If your parents ask you to do something, right? No? Yeah, that's what I thought. So, like, taking out garbage. Who here loves taking out garbage? Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. None of us. But that's something that maybe your parents ask you to do. Or you're like your teachers. You have to yield to your teachers. Your teachers ask you to do homework. Your teachers ask you to do an assignment. Who here loves to write an essay? Exactly. That's, well, you're crazy. So exactly, that's what I thought. But even though we don't like to do it, our teachers, our parents know what's best for us. And so you have to yield to them. There's one example for me in my life where I had to yield to my parents. And at the time, I thought they were crazy. I didn't want to obey them. But looking back at it, I'm so glad they drug me to do what we did, because it was amazing. And basically, it was this. I was about 11, 12 years old. It was a beautiful Saturday morning. I mean, sun's out. I just wanted to go out. Usually on Saturday mornings, I just go down the street, play with friends, play basketball, hang out, ride bikes, whatever. So I was just, that was my plan for the day. Saturday, sun's out. Let's go play basketball, do whatever. But then my parents said, hey, Andy, we got something special we want to do today. And I'm like, it's all right. I already got something going on. They're like, no, we're going to get in the car. We're going to drive to San Francisco, which from where I lived was about 2 hours away. It's like, we're going to drive to San Francisco, and we're going to go to a museum. Yeah, how fun does that sound as a 12-year-old kid, right? So get in a car for 2 hours and then have to go to a museum all day. And I'm like, no, thanks. I'll just stay here. And they're like, nope, you got to come with us. So I came kicking and screaming. I just put up a fit. I was a punk. I was like, you know what? I don't want to be here. I'm just going to be miserable the whole time. And as we got to this museum, we went and saw this display. And I just went, I saw the display, but I went through quick and I just kind of exited and I just kind of waited in the lobby for my parents. And I wish I really took time through this display, because what they dragged me to, what the display was the Dead Sea Scrolls. Do you guys know what that is? Well, if you don't, and if you have an opportunity to see it, see them, because it's amazing. Basically, the Dead Sea Scrolls are the earliest manuscripts of the Bible, where the earliest ones that we have found, that we've dated, they date back to a couple thousand years ago, around the time of Christ, just after Christ, where these were found in Israel in a cave that were basically well-preserved enough to where the scientists could preserve them, unroll them, and read them. And as they read these scrolls from a couple thousand years ago, they noticed that the scripture back then, written in like Hebrew and Greek, was exact same as we have today. So it verified that God's word is the exact same today as it was a couple thousand years ago, which is awesome. It hasn't changed. It hasn't been manipulated. And it's huge finding, especially within the Christian faith. And so as a 12-year-old, I wish I understood the gravity of it, how huge it was, but I'm still glad that I got to see him. I'm still glad that my parents took me there. They knew what was best for me. So it was better than just kind of wasting the day playing basketball, but to be able to see something like that. So there's sometimes that you won't understand what your authority is asking of you. You won't understand what Jesus is asking of you. In his Bible, there are a lot of commands that he asked for you to kind of get out of the way, step aside, or things to do that you guys might not agree with. There's things that he asks you not to do, like, you know, don't lie. You know, lying is a sin. And there's times where lying may be the easy thing. Maybe you get caught red-handed in something, and the easiest way out is just to lie. But that's contrary to what God wants for you. Or not act in anger. There's times where you just want to kind of explode or get upset, but that's not what God wants of you. Or there's things that God does want of you, things that you should do that's contrary to what the world says, like loving your enemy. I know that's easy to say, but man, that's hard to do. Someone that you just kind of despise, kind of hate, maybe someone that has hurt you, and God's asking you to love them. Or maybe even something that's even a crazier concept than that, and that's to obey your parents. It's throughout the Bible, God asking you to obey your parents. And sometimes, yeah, for you guys, it's tough. Some of you, and especially when you, some of you have great parents, great godly Christian parents. And I know some of you, unfortunately, aren't in a situation like that, where that might be even tougher. But as long as it's not sinful, then God asks you to obey your parents. There's a story in the Bible that I love. I'll go through really quick. And it's found in the Old Testament. It's the story of Gideon. And I love the story of Gideon. If you guys have a chance to read it this week, please do. It's found in Judges chapter 6 and 7. So if you want to write that down, you don't have to turn there. But Judges 6 and 7 in the Old Testament. And the story of Gideon, basically during this time, is Gideon's an Israelite. And the Israelites were being oppressed by this nation called the Midianites. So Midianites are a huge nation. And the Israelites were kind of this tiny nation, and they were oppressing them. They had their soldiers, their army there. It even says about the Midianites that they were so vast, so big of an army, that their camels outnumbered the sands of the sea. And that's, you know, that's a metaphor. But really, that shows you their camels, not to mention their soldiers, outnumber the sands on the sea. And so God, as you see in Judges 6, God comes to Gideon and says, Gideon, I'm going to use you to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Midianites. And Gideon goes, he basically talks back to God, just like I talk back to my parents. And Gideon said, God, what? You're crazy. What are you talking about? Not only is Israel this tiny nation, or the Israelites, we're a tiny people, group of people, but my clan, we're the least in all of Israel. And not only that, like, I'm just this, you know, this guy who I'm nothing, and you're going to use me? So through a series of miracles, God showed up and said, and just proved to Gideon that, no, I'm with you. I'm going to use you to deliver Israel. So as Gideon collects this army, he collects 32,000 men, which is a good amount of men, fighting men, but still compared to Midian, still small. And God goes, you know what? This is too big. I'm gonna cut this down. And so God does a series of things to cut Gideon's army down. And one of them, the first one, is basically saying, if you're scared, then you can just leave. So Gideon goes to his men and says, okay, if any of you are scared, you can just leave. And 22,000 men left. 22,000. So that leaves Gideon with 10,000 fighting men. And at that point, God goes, well, you know what? This is still too big. I'm going to cut it down even more. And he said, okay, so just go up to a creek, and have your soldiers take water out of the creek. And if they go down and lap it up like a dog with their tongue, that they need to leave. But if they scoop up the water with their hands, then they can stay. And only 300 men scooped up water with their hands, which is crazy because I don't know what it was back in the day, but I would think that's the natural way to get water. But 9,700 people lapped up the water with their tongue. So 300 men were left with Gideon. And God goes, okay, this is perfect. And this is why it was perfect, because if you look in Judges 7, verse 2, it says this. The reason why God did this, all of this, he says, you know, when the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands, in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. So God, needing Gideon to yield to him, because it's not about Gideon at this point. It's not about what he can do or the men of Israel can do, but that God wanted to really ask him to do something crazy, because then it's going to show God doing amazing things through Gideon. And he did. With those 300 men, basically they surrounded the camp of the Midianites at night. They came bearing trumpets, not swords, but trumpets and loud things they can bang together. They kicked over all their clay pots, basically all their lanterns, shut off the lights on the camp, started making a lot of noise, banging things, blowing trumpets, a lot of noise. Out of the confusion, all the Midianites start fighting, but what they're doing is they're fighting each other. It's dark, they don't know, and they start like stabbing each other and killing each other. Next thing you know, all the Midianites are just there, lying dead on the ground, and the Israelites are just surrounding them, like, well, God, you're awesome. And that's what it was. And in our lives, that's what God wants to do. There's sometimes he's going to ask you to do something that you don't want to do. Maybe go on a mission trip. Maybe go serve someone down the street. Maybe, you know, help that person at your school that no one else helps. God, and you can feel that God wants you to do this. Because at that point, though, it's not you doing it, but it's God working through you during those points where you just need to yield to him. And that's what happened with Peter, as you saw in that story, where throwing the nets on the other side, by doing that, it shows God working through him. And as they pulled up all the fish, it wasn't anything Peter did. Again, like Rich said, fishing in the afternoon is crazy. They caught nothing all night. You know, it was not an ideal situation. And that's where God could show up the most. And I love this quote, where for Peter, for this miracle to happen in Peter's life, Peter had to first, he had to yield. He had to have the one to have faith to show that he believes that God can do something amazing. And I love this quote found in a book by Philip Yancey, and it says that miracles don't produce faith, but faith produces miracles. Basically saying you have to take that first step. You have to do something to show God that, you know what, God, I trust in you. I want to follow you. I believe in you. And that's when God's going to show up. I know a lot of times in life, and I've been there too, well, maybe you guys have been there, where you've asked God, say, God, do a miracle. Show yourself. If you just do this, if you just send a shooting star, if you, I don't know, whatever that is, if you do this miracle, then I'm going to do this. And that's not what God wants. God wants us first to yield. God wants us to say, you know, say when God asks to throw the nets on the other side, God wants us to say, yes, Lord. Because you're God, because we acknowledge you, I'm going to do that. So the last point here that I want to cover, so first, for the captain, to follow the captain, you have to acknowledge the captain. Next, you have to yield to the captain. You have to do what he asks of you. And the last one is you have to endeavor with the captain. You have to follow the captain. You have to do this journey with the captain. And so endeavor means activity directed towards a goal. So as you endeavor towards something, there is this goal. And as you look in Luke 5, the goal, as Peter dropped his nets and followed Christ, the goal was Jesus saying, I'll make you fishers of men. Basically, I'm going to use you to reach out to others, to tell people about myself. There's a goal. There's a directive there from Jesus. And Jesus, God has asked of us every day in our life, he has things for us to do. And really, overall, there's one. Basically, he has two greatest commandments. And in Mark chapter 12, guy comes to Jesus and says, you know, what's the greatest commandments? And Jesus pairs it down to these two. Basically, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And there's a whole lot of other stuff under that. But really, those are the two greatest commandments. If you do that, if you follow God with all that you are, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, even your enemies, even your parents, then those are these commands that God has given us. And so as you journey, as you endeavor with Christ, really, like I said, it's you guys that need to take that first step. As Peter took that first step, he didn't know what he's getting himself into. And you'll see this week, this crazy journey. And God did amazing stuff through Peter. Peter got it right sometimes. Peter got it really wrong sometimes. But he took that first step. He dropped his nets. He followed Jesus. And so as we look at these, again, these three things, the acknowledging Christ, or acknowledging the captain, yielding to the captain, endeavoring with the captain. As you look at these things, do you guys see something about this as you put those three together? Yes, you see something? Anyway, yes, it spells the word. If you take the first letter of each word, it spells I. So saying, yes, God, I, Captain. Yeah, you see what I did there? It wasn't just crazy talk. But yes, saying, I, Captain, yes, I want to follow you with my life. And by saying, I, Captain, this is what you're saying, by saying you acknowledge who he is, that he is Christ, he is God, the Son of God, that you want to yield to him, that he is worthy to give up everything, to set your own desires, your own will aside to follow him, and that you want to endeavor with him. You want to follow that goal, those commands that he's given you with your life. So right now, I just want to pray for you guys, and hopefully you can have this in your mind throughout the week as we look at these different stories, as you look at Peter's life, as you look at your own life and what it means to say yes, God. So as I pray, the band's going to come up and going to lead us in one last song, saying, God, I need you. It's not about me. It's not my desires, my wants. But God, I need you, and I need just to give up everything for you in my life. So Lord, God, thank you for these students. Thank you for this time together. God, I pray that throughout this week that we can just constantly remember, Lord, that you are worthy to be praised. God, you are worthy to be followed. God, you are worthy to be our captain. We are so grateful that you want to be our captain, that you humbled yourself to become a man, to know what it's like to be human, but also to take in our sins with you on that cross. And I pray, God, that tonight, God, as this your gospel, your good news is presented to these students, God, I pray that those that don't have their faith in you, God, can understand what that means to follow you, that means to have a relationship with you, to want to give their life to you, God, because, God, through life, Lord, it's hard, it's difficult, and there's times, God, we try to do it on our own, and we constantly fail. But God, by giving up everything, by giving it to you, and we know that you will use us, God, and you will have what's best for us. Even though, Lord, it's not easy at all times, God, but it's worth it. So, Lord, we give it all to you, God, and pray this in your name. Amen.